Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to our second reading, Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. But woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for a reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink, instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We continue then in Isaiah chapter 3, speaking about the character of the judgment that the Lord will bring upon Israel because of her own wickedness. Because she has forsaken the Lord will bring several things to pass upon her. The first thing that he will do is he will take away from her that which she needs to function in the area of sustenance and in the area of, if you will, people or personnel, in both of those areas. So he's going to take away the stay of bread and the stay of water. In other words, famine and drought. Famine and drought will come. When the Lord sends famine and when the Lord sends drought to a people, especially like this, that have a profession of his name, well, that ought to be impetus for us to cry out to him. That ought to be motivation to recognize that he's trying to get our attention. Now, I hate to use the word trying and the Lord in the same sentence, because he doesn't try, he just does. But you understand what I mean. I'm speaking there of God like he is a man, that he is trying to get our attention. In other words, he is sending those in order to get our attention. Or if we will not gather our attention and give it to him, that he will have that against us for not hearkening to him. So, famine and drought. But then he says he's going to take away particular kinds of people. Now this is interesting if you think about it. Notice, the mighty, the warrior, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the leader, the honorable one, the wise man, the tradesman, and the orator. You know what that means, right? He's taking away all of the choice offices of the land so that there will be no one to lead. There will be no one to guide. There will be no one to give counsel. There will be no wise man to give counsel, no valorous man to fight, no warrior to stand up against the enemy. There will be no tradesman, no skilled man to build, no leader to lead, no weighty one to tell us what is weighty, no prophet to speak the word of the Lord to us, and so on. And so the Lord says he's going to take away all of the choice people of the land. Did he do that? Just think with me for a moment. What happened when Nebuchadnezzar rolled into town? Who did he take? The cream of the crop. See, this is exactly what Isaiah is talking about here. He's talking about the Lord taking away the cream of the crop. Now, brothers and sisters, I just want to pull up for a moment and give you a piece of friendly advice. There are those running loose on the landscape in reformed circles today that are telling us that we don't need to be educated. We don't need to go to college. We don't need to do our due diligence and learn a skilled trade. That really, there's just a few things that we need to know how to make it in this world. Brothers and sisters, that's balloon juice. When the Lord says that he's going to take away these people out of the midst of the land, that is a sign of judgment. And if the Lord would take away the Christian influence that some of you might grow up to be in the positions of authority, in the positions of government, in the positions in the church, in the position as counselors, in the position as the honorable, the wise man, the leader, the valiant one, the warrior, and so on. I want you there and people like you in those places. Students, do your due diligence. Let's just take one. This is a common one. This is one that I speak about a lot. What kind of an education does it take to become a bioethicist? That's pretty good. It takes a lot of commitment. It takes a while to get there. Don't you want people that have Christian commitments in a field like that? Most definitely. How about those who begin as perhaps medical doctors and then end up on hospital boards, leaving their private practice so they can be part of the administration of who gets what when resources become scarce? Do you want Christians making those decisions? Or would you rather leave them to the people that believe in the survival of the fittest, that we're nothing but slime plus time, that the law of tooth and fang really rules in the world? Who do you want there? Well, I think we know the answer. We have a police officer in our congregation. Who would you want behind the barrel of a gun in a difficult time? Wouldn't you want a man that has a Christian commitment, who calls Christ his Lord? So it is a sign of judgment when the Lord says to a people, I'm going to take away these things from you. And you know what I'm going to do instead? What does he say? Children will be your rulers. Now, you know he's not talking about children in the sense of 8-year-olds. He's talking about grown-up children who throw temper tantrums instead of getting work done. He's talking about people who never really did grow up, who are still seeking to be the center of attention. Ooh, it got awful quiet in here. You know why? Because the Lord has begun in our day, in our country, to take away these men and to replace them with children. Let us pray. Let us pray that the Lord would grant us reformation in our country, that He might restore to us the mighty one, the warrior, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the leader, the honorable one, the wise counselor, the skilled tradesman, and the orator, to capture our hearts and to drive us in the right direction. All right, so then we see that oppression becomes rampant, which means that lawsuits abound. I'm not reading the newspaper here, I'm reading the Bible. Okay? Lawsuits abound. The distinction of station is torn down. And then the rulership, the position of authority, becomes not something to be sought, but something from which people will run. I'm not going to preside over this debacle. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. So thus shall any society fall that turns its back upon the Lord. Not just a people that were called by His name in Isaiah's day, but every society since then. Should we refuse to call Christ our King and our rulers to rule as those who are ruled by the King of Kings, instead, we will have children to rule over us. All right, so then we move on. Verses 9 through 15. So they have hardened themselves in their sin, and they refuse to acknowledge that they have done wrong. This is what happens when we harden ourselves in our sin. We refuse to acknowledge when we have done wrong. We make excuses. We give reasons. We say why it wasn't really wrong. We use very interesting casuistry and all kinds of speech. And we talk until our accusers give up. These kinds of behaviors are signs. They're signs of the Lord's displeasure. The righteous, however, are told that they will be spared. But then the rulers become oppressors. Oppression comes from the service of the self instead of those whom the Lord has given you in charge. And this is true of all structures of authority. When service becomes a burden and we serve ourselves, we become oppressors. And so we see that the rulers, the way he puts it is that they've eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces to grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts. Of course, the poor there, they don't necessarily mean the monetarily disadvantaged. They mean those who cannot rise up to defend themselves against the onslaught of oppression. They are the oppressed. I'm tempted to say something. Talk to me afterwards. I don't want to say it from the pulpit. But, you know, developing a dependent class of people is oppression. That's exactly what it is. All right, so then in the last portion, another sign of judgment is the vanity and the pride of the women of the nation. This is a description of the feminine gender that has lost all sense of modesty and propriety. It seems that the women of the nation, rather than adorning themselves with godliness, have taken to their outward beauty, and in so doing have left off all shame and propriety, sought to be looked at, to be ogled, rather than to be honored. Note the irony of this situation. They did so to be noticed of men, but the Lord will take away all the good men out of the nation. So ladies, take heed for your souls and their adornment, and know that the good you can do for a nation, for your husbands, is in choosing godliness. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 3. He talks about the ancient women of old who adorned themselves. You know, ladies, it's not unlawful for you to adorn yourselves. But the primary adorning, Peter tells us, is to be that hidden person of the heart. That's where the true adornment ought to be taking place. And we see here in Isaiah chapter 3 the picture of a gender, the feminine gender, that's gone completely out of its way to leave off all kinds of inward adornment and to focus on the outward adornment. And again, I'll just say this and I'll let it lie. I'm not reading the newspaper. I'm reading the Bible. All right, thus ends the reading of Isaiah chapter 3. Let's stand and continue praising God in the